can't sing too well, but these are sweet incense to God's ears, that we love Him and that we do that. In Psalm 17, verses 4 through 9, David wrote, "For as the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your path. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. From the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me." David wrote a lot of these psalms as he was being pursued by Saul, who was attempting to get rid of his successor in the kingdom. You know, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. David, as he wrote here, is that he's trying to maintain God's will. He's trying to do God's will. And he's trying to keep himself from wanting to go out and harm Saul. He wants to remain obeying God. But it's not easy and it's not hard. Sometimes we can inflict the worst damage upon ourselves. I remember ex-President Clinton commenting one time that most of life's wounds are self-inflicted. That's possibly the one thing I can say that I can agree with him with not all our wounds are self-inflicted. Others try to inflict them on us. But many of our wounds we can kind of do to ourselves sometimes. We can be our own worst enemy sometimes. Or sometimes you can feel quite singled out in life. Left on a sinking ship were the captain and three sailors. The captain spoke first, "Men, this business about a captain going down with his ship is nonsense. There's a three-man life raft on board, and I'm going to be on it. To see who will come with me, I will ask you each one question. The one who can't answer will stay behind and go down with the ship. Here's the first question. What unsinkable ship went down when it hit an iceberg?" The first sailor piped up and said, "Well, that's the Titanic." "Okay, that's good." On the next question, he asked, "Well, how many people perished?" The second sailor said, 1,517, sir." He says, "That's great. You can come aboard." "Now for the third question." The captain turned to sailor number three and said, "What were their names?" Now, we can feel singled out sometimes, and I'm sure David felt singled out for what he was going through. He knew that God was going to make him king, and someone was trying to stop him. David was praying in this psalm for restraint so that he could do God's will and have his protection as he was pursued by Saul. It's easy sometimes to want to retaliate to those around us. We live in a get-even, revenge-filled world where we take care of business, so to speak, and we'll take care of those who transgress against us. But David was trying to maintain what God wanted him to be. And he's being pursued, and he asked God to give him the strength to maintain himself in God's will and not strike out and act in violence. Remember, David had went to the camp and met Saul, left his clothes there. So we know that he could have stealthily went in and taken care of Saul. But he was trying to abide by God. He also wanted the strength to keep moving away from the danger. He knew that if he fled from it, he would not have to face it and would not have to act out against Saul the king. How often we should take that and flee from sin. Flee from what can cause us to fall away from God, can cause us to sin. We need to be that way also. He wanted keen hearing so he could hear it coming. You know, we can hear things coming, we can see things coming. And this is always prudent upon a Christian. When does temptation start? When do our fallings or failings in life, whatever you want to call it, when we fall away from God, when do they start? Could we recognize early on and avoid it? Flee from the temptation and flee from that sin that is coming. That's what David is praying for, us to be able to hear his enemies coming against him. And we need to be able to hear and see our enemy come against us in life today. When we can recognize the earliest point when something's happening that we're going to be tempted to fall or fail, when we're going to be tempted to sin, that we can avoid that situation altogether and start on our way towards God, running away from it. David also asked that God show his love through his power. And God did show his love through his power, because when we needed it most, Christ came and died for us. There's nothing more that we need in our lives than to have that salvation in Christ. Remember when they wanted Jesus to heal the man and Jesus said, "You're forgiven"? They said, "What is this? He doesn't heal him. He just forgives him." Jesus illustrated how much more important our salvation and our forgiveness was than that man be healed of his infirmities. David also wanted God to save him. He wanted him to harbor him and make him whole. And he wanted to hide him from his enemies. David wanted to do the will of God. And he wanted God's help in doing it. You know, we can't go it alone. We talked about Barak in Judges, how he did not want the glory for winning the battle. He wanted to know that God's judge, that God's chosen person, would be there with him in battle. That's the most important thing in our lives, is that we want God on our side, that we want him in the battle. We cannot go it alone. We cannot win it alone. We can't live life alone without him. So David is asking God's help so that David does not have to take matters into his own hand. David humbles himself and lets God work out the outcome. Now, we did a few lessons on the Lord's Prayer. And in those lessons, Jesus talked about God's will be done. Jesus asked nothing but for his daily bread and forgiveness of sins and the strength to flee from sin. That's all he asked for. He didn't ask for a big raise, a big house, a big car, a big boat. He didn't ask for these luxuries. But knowing and asking mostly and acknowledging God's power and that his will be done. And this is what David's doing here. He's doing this exact same thing. Letting God work out the outcome of this event as God sees fit. So, do we struggle with our circumstances because we are trying to fix it ourselves? We should look to God to fix our problems. So often we pray to God to work things out, then we set about trying to fix it ourselves. Instead of waiting on God, having that patience to see the path that God wants us to go. Just as we learn patience from having to wait for things, we can learn to wait on God by experiencing the trials of life. There's a verse in the Bible that says, "Count it blessings when we suffer trials in life." You may think, well, that's kind of crazy and ludicrous, because who wants to go through some of the things we have to go through? Who wants to go through some of these horrible things? Some of us have already gone through some pretty bad things and don't want to experience them again. But the trials of life is what tempers us, like tempering steel through great heat, so that we can be stronger, so that we can be bolder, so that we can live a life fully in Christ. The word David uses here, hide, from the Hebrews, kasal. And it means to cover or fill up the holes. David was asking God for help so that he could fill in the voids of his character, to fill in his weaknesses. Now we know if you compromise a structure, you can't go taking down certain walls within a building. Otherwise, you'll have, you know, the roof is going to be at ground level. You can't compromise things like that. When you have voids that aren't supposed to be there, then there's weakness. Then there's the inability to fulfill its purpose. And that's what David is asking God to do, to fill in the voids, to make him whole. And that's what we should ask for. That's what Jesus was asking for in the Lord's Prayer, to go back to that again. He says, you know, forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. Reminding himself of that forgiveness we have. Fill in the voids of our lives. And how do we do that? We all repeated. Study. Pray. Learn. That's how we fill in the voids in our lives so that we can be stronger. So we can be like David and avoid taking matters into our own hands. We don't want to do that. We need to examine what is keeping us from achieving what God wants from us and what we can be for God. What affects us in life? Is it anger over things in the past? Is it depression? Is it abandonment? Is it something that happened 30, 40 years ago? Certainly these can have a profound effect upon our character and the way we live our lives. We are a sum of our experiences. We are the sum of our memories. And all of these things, whether they be good or bad, creates our character and makes us who we are. But we can overcome those things. Because as bad as someone here on earth can be, as bad as some of the things you see in the news about what parents do to their own children, we have a parent. We have a loving father. We have a brother, sisters who love us. We need to cast away all the pain, all the hurt, and all those things. Don't focus on that. Focus on what we have in Christ. In Hebrews this morning, the Hebrew writer in chapter 12 was telling us about focusing on Christ, focusing on that future. When we look forward, we avoid what happened to Lot's wife. She looked back and longed for her life back there. She looked back on what was an evil place, and she didn't escape. We need to always look forward, because forward is where our happiness and our joy lies. The past is gone. May not be forgotten, but the past is gone. Focus on those things that are ahead of us. What's ahead of us? Eventually salvation. Between that time, when we are judged, we live a life. And there's so much good we can do for others. So much we can share with them as far as the gospel. So much we can do to maybe help others. And we need to always be looking for those opportunities in our life. God will give us the tools to fight the battles in our life. He gave them to David. He'll give them to you. Another thing we learned in Hebrews class this morning, is that God's promises are true. If he's going to do it for the people of old and their faith, if he did it for Abraham and Isaac, if he did it for David, if he did it for Daniel, if he did it for all those people back then, he's going to do it for us. He will not abandon us and leave us if we look to him. Don't wait until you're in danger or at wit's end to ask for God's help. You know, we ask for announcements in the morning, and I always like the good announcements. I like to hear the good things that are happening in life. We always talk about who's sick, who passed away, the grieving families, who's traveling, stuff like that. How about the good things of life? the healings that people are experiencing, the good things, the faith-filled witness that they can provide. Those are good to hear too, and those are great announcements. You know, Africa's Victoria Falls produces a cloud of mist that is often heavy enough to impair the visibility. While a man was walking the path that skirts the gorge in which the Zambezi River tumbles, he noticed a sign on the rim but couldn't make it out. In his curiosity and not wanting to miss what was on that sign, he slithered and slid through the mud out to the very edge, only to read this message: danger, crumbling edge. You don't want to get that far into your problem without God. You don't want to be on the edge and on the, you know, of a breakdown or anything like that, or of terrible things in life without going to God. You want to be able to see the dangers way before them. In 1969, in Passe Christiane, Mississippi, a group of people were prepared to have a hurricane party in the face of a storm named Camille. Were they ignorant of the dangers? Could they have been overconfident? Did they let their egos and pride influence their decision? We'll never know. What we do know is that the wind was howling outside the Richelieu apartments out there when the police chief pulled up sometime after dark. Facing the beach less than 250 feet from the surf, the apartments were directly in the line of the hurricane. A man with a drink in his hand came out of the second floor balcony and waved. Police chief yelled up to him, "You all need to clear out of here as quickly as you can. The storm's getting worse." But as others joined the man on the balcony, they just laughed at his order to leave. "This is my land," one of them yelled. "If you want me off it, you'll have to arrest me." He didn't arrest anybody, but he wasn't able to persuade them to leave that place either. He wrote down the names of the next of kin of the 20 or so people gathered there who wanted to party through the storm. They laughed as he took their names. They had been warned, but they had no intention of leaving their party. It was 10:15 when the front wall of the storm came ashore. Scientists clocked Camille's wind speed in excess of more than 205 miles an hour, the strongest on record. Raindrops hit with the force of bullets, the waves off the Gulf Coast crested between 22 and 28 feet tall. News reports later showed that the worst damage came at the little settlement of motels there, where they had lounges and gambling houses in Mississippi, where some 20 people were killed at a hurricane party at these very apartments. Nothing was left of the three-story structure but the foundation. The only survivor was a 5-year-old boy found clinging to a mattress the following day. We cannot weather the storms alone, and we don't know when the next one is going to be the biggest one that ever hit us. We don't know that. We think one problem's just like the next one, maybe a little worse, maybe a little better. But each and every problem in our life could be that big one when our faith is going to be challenged all the way. When we're going to have to face challenges not many people face. We never know that. Hopefully it won't happen. I pray it doesn't. I pray for you that it doesn't. But these things happen. And these people stood out there, probably went through hurricane after hurricane. I know I've gone through a lot of them. And if they're not too bad, there's not a whole lot of damage. It's just about 12 hours of watching the wind and not having electricity for a while. But this storm was the killer one for these people. We can't let our pride, our ego, our arrogance get the better of us. We can't try to work this out alone without God. Because just like we cannot fight against these forces of nature that kill these people, we can flee from sin just as they could have fled from that to be alive. We can go to God and trust Him to take care of us. Everything, just as David did, he wanted to do according to God's will. Not his will, not his power, but God's power. He always gave God the glory for that. He trusted God all his life. And he was trusting them then. We can trust God, but like David, we have to get to know God. We have to get to know all the things he has done for his faithful. We have to get to know what he wants in our lives. We have to get to know him. David was said to be a man after God's own heart. Are we men and women after God's own heart today? Are we seeking him to enjoy a life that is filled with joy and happiness, that is filled with assurance of things to come, that is filled with the joy of salvation that we have? And is it filled in the love of all those who share that salvation? I don't know what your condition is this morning. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?